What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to a special edition of Smack Talk presented by SmackOutMoment.com. I am Tony Mango, your host of the panel, and joining me on this panel, I've got Mike Payton.
It's me.
No, it's not. You're lying. And Kaylin Ferris.
What's up?
What's down? We did this, didn't we? On Smack Talk. I think we did. What's sideways?
I don't listen to that show. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. So, what we're going to be talking about for this episode is the review for NXT TakeOver Respect. We've been doing these little post shows lately, and we've been doing them live, but we've got a little bit of a situation here that kind of gets in the way of that. We've got New York Comic Con tomorrow, in a couple hours, actually. So, we need to sort of rush through this. We can't do it live. Sorry about that, guys. But we will get your opinions in the comments below and, you know, respond back to you guys and all that other kind of stuff. We need to recap this, review it, talk about anything we liked, disliked, anything else like that. And we're just going to do it all in one big shot and go match by match and kind of bounce back and forth and say whatever we got to say. So, let's start it off right now. The first match of the night was the semifinals Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament match, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, a.k.a. The Mechanics. And if you have listened to our predictions, you would know that I basically looked at this match as, why are the Mechanics in it? Finn Balor and Samoa Joe are going to win. Yeah, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe won.
You keep calling that. I don't hear them calling them the Mechanics.
They haven't in a long while.
The only place I've seen that is online. I haven't heard them say that on TV.
I think that they only used it in like some promos and stuff, but it's a lot easier than just going Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder all the time. I hate doing that. Or Dash and Dawson, like they keep referring to themselves.
There are not nearly enough good tag team names.
Right.
Even like Enzo and Cass. Mm-hmm. They're just Enzo and Cass.
Mm-hmm. On, I think, like a WWE.com article or something like that, I saw them referred to as Team Soft, which is just like the laziest effort you could possibly get with that team.
Well, I mean, they could be like Team. Well,
they could be Team Enzo and Cass.
It could be Team ECC. Enzo, Cass, Carmella.
I was wondering where the other C was. I'm like, Enzo, Colin, Cassidy? Huh? Wait. Oh, Carmella's there. And she's hot as hell.
Well, I guess she's not anymore. She's injured.
Well, she could still walk out of the ring. She's not that injured. It's not like Eva Marie, like, knocked her head off or something.
But they'd never be Team Soft. Their opponents are soft. Mm-hmm. They're Team How You Doing.
Hmm. Or they Team Hard.
There you go.
Team Hard.
But it has to be
Hard. Hard.
Yeah, exactly. H-A-W-W-W-D.
So the story in this match was Finn Balor almost immediately gets injured, and the rest of the time, actually the rest of the pay-per-view, his leg's bothering him. So my first reaction to this was, well, actually, even before that, my first reaction was, no face paint. No, like, demon tonight.
No any paint.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was a tribute to Dusty, wasn't it? That's what they were saying on the commentary. I think that's what I took from the commentary is that the reason he didn't do the whole demon thing was because it wasn't about him. It was about Dusty, and it was sort of his tribute, I guess.
That's fair.
Hmm.
It's good not to do it all the time anyway. Plus, he had to come out multiple times tonight.
Right. I thought maybe he'd do it for the second time, but I understand why.
I just thought that they were trying to push the Balor Club thing, and they were just like, just go ahead and do that. Let's try to sell some t-shirts, you know? Or some leather jackets. It does look good like that, though. You know?
Yeah.
But after that happened, I was just like, well, maybe there's going to be something of a heel turn with Samoa Joe, like, more solidified now that we've got this injury, because what usually happens when somebody's injured? They use that as an excuse to lose. And I was like, man, if Dash and Dawson end up winning this match because of an injury or something like that, then there's a really good chance for Samoa Joe to turn. But even more so, I was thinking that was going to happen in the finals. And we'll get to that in a minute or so. But as far as this match went, I thought it was good. I didn't really love the whole injury angle thing for the whole rest of the night. I think that they kind of dropped the ball with that. So at the beginning of this, I thought this was okay. Later on, I can look back in retrospect and say they didn't really pull it off 100%. But there was a better match than I expected with the Mechanics. And, I still think that they didn't deserve the spot, but I'm willing to forgive it. What do you guys think about this match?
I liked it. I kind of had the same thought as far as the injury angle going to play into some kind of heel turn for Samoa Joe. I didn't think it was going to happen in this match, though. I figured, like you were saying, you know, we'll get to that when we get there, but I thought that was going to come into play later on. As far as this match itself, it was all right. You know, it didn't blow me away. It was an entertaining match. A few good spots. I do like the finish of it, though. It was the muscle buster followed by the coup de grace. I like that combo. I think that's really good. So I thought that was a good way to finish it.
Pin, what did you think?
This was an odd tag team match to have, right? Like, especially this far into this kind of tournament.
Right.
A slap together team like Balor and Joe against these two jabronis. Like, weird facial hair guy and beer belly dude.
Wait, which one's beer belly dude?
The one that doesn't have the weird facial hair.
don't they both?
Do they both?
I don't know. Is that bad that we don't know?
One of them had really bad tattoos, too. These guys were just disgusting. You know what? I think they need to play that up more. I think they need to, like, grow out their belly hair and get more bad tattoos, and that needs to be their thing. Because when they were coming out, I couldn't really figure out what their thing was. Like, are they some kind of knockoff of, like, the Brainbusters? Because they're coming out in the what do you call those kind of jackets? Members-only jackets?
I don't know what they're supposed to be, but I always assume jobbers. Like, they don't strike me as an actual
That's the
team.
Case, they shouldn't have made it this far to the tournament.
Definitely not. Vaudevillains are Enzo and Cass, I'm saying for sure. They should have been in this.
Yeah, they weren't on the pay-per-view at all, or the special event.
Yeah. Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, even Blake and Murphy I would have bought into more.
Very odd choice.
Yeah, obvious people who should have won here. It actually was a better match than I would have expected as well. So I got to give credit to all four men involved for that at least. Cool.
Much better match, though, is the one that followed it. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable against Baron Corbin and Rhino. Man, that was a good friggin' match. Much better match than I expected on a different level than even the other one, because I sort of thought that Corbin and Rhino were going to be hard to work with because there's such a huge, like, size difference. Especially, like, Chad Gable against Rhino. It was like, how would you buy into him hurting Rhino? But they played it up really well, and I loved this. I thought this was fantastic. Gable is somebody that I haven't seen too much of, but what I have seen, especially tonight, I'm digging the guy. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing was the fans chanting, save the Gables. Save the Gables.
And I like the Gable chant to the tune of Angle, Angle. Yeah, I like that one too.
So I think Gable was really the star of the match. But Jason Jordan came in. He had the hot tag at one point, and he looked pretty strong. Stronger than he's looked in a long while, especially when he was tagging with Ty Dillinger, who is much better off on his own, too. Like, they're just, I don't know, they know what they're doing here. And even Baron Corbin and Rhino, they looked good. Baron Corbin stepped up a lot tonight. He did better than he usually does.
I was amazed when Baron Corbin didn't botch that victory roll into that bridging German suplex.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely astonished. I was like, holy shit, where did this guy learn to do that?
And the spinning, what do you call it?
Whatever the fuck it was into the end of days.
Well, that too, yeah, but the ones that change, when he did that too, the black hole slam or whatever you call it, the one before that, both of those. Like, but
they were both into ends of days.
They both were? I thought the one was just...
It was so, like, crazy cockeyed, but yeah, they both were into ends of days.
Huh. Well, both of them were fun as hell to watch.
Which just goes to show you that ends of days is a very versatile finisher.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't give it that kind of credit.
That was a good way to, like, put a cap on the match. Like, they put up a good fight, and there were a couple times where I was just like, oh man, fucking Gordon. Jordan and Gable are totally going to win this and whatever. And then it was like, ah, he hit the fucking ends of days. Like, damn, like, that's exactly what I should be thinking. It's like, fuck, he hit the finisher. All right, well, they're not going to win. Instead of just, all right, well, now they're going to hit the end of days. And they did. 1, 2, 3. Let's move on. I loved it. I thought that this was great. And, you know, having the first match, that was better than I expected it to be. And having this one be so much better than I had thought that they would be able to do. I was like, we're on the road. You know, really good pace for having a damn good event. And overall, I love this event. We'll give our little overall stuff later on. But I was disappointed that Jordan and Gable didn't win because I was hoping that they would win the whole thing. But I buy into it. I mean, it makes sense. They are the smaller team and the less important stars and stuff like that. So, you know, all in all, thumbs up for me. What about you, Caitlin?
Yeah, I agree. I think this match was way better than I anticipated. I mean, just looking at it on paper or thinking about it ahead of time, it's like, it might be decent. But yeah, it was actually rather entertaining. I was into it the entire time. You know, the matchup of Rhino and Baron Corbin together, I thought was, you know, kind of odd. I didn't think it would work so well, but they actually pulled it off. And then, you know, once Chad Gable and Jason Jordan were able to sort of show how they can do an offense on them, I was like, hey, you know, this is actually could work out. You know, I thought they actually had a chance. And then over the course, you know, it told a good story, good back and forth. And, you know, in the end, Rhino and Corbin won, which I was actually very surprised about, too, because I also thought that Jordan and Gable were going to go all the way. But, you know, it happens. But overall, yeah, I was very impressed with this match. I liked it very much. Not near the match of the night or anything like that, but it was very enjoyable.
And it wasn't the match of the night because the other things were better than it. The match was
not bad at all. It was not bad at all.
No, I mean, that's a good testament of it, to be like, that this is a great match, and it wasn't the best match of the night. Because things got better. We had the debut of Asuka against Dana Brooke.
Asuka.
I already said before about how these things were topping a level that I thought they were going to do. Asuka did great. Dana Brooke did good. This is the best match she's had.
By far the best match he has.
Yeah.
The last match was Baron Corbin's best match that he's had so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two of the most like hated people had their best matches tonight.
And like, or even like her posing didn't bug me this time. It was like, she had like a different look to her a little bit. Like maybe she changed some of her ring gear up or whatever. She looked like great. Like her body looked fantastic or whatever. I'm not digging the old lady here. That's a little bit weird. But she did look a significant amount better than she usually does. And Asuka, strong showing. You know, she looks like a badass. Teaches them a lesson. There's like nothing bad I can say about this. Except maybe one thing, if I have to nitpick.
There was a little botch in there. I mean,
which botch? Because I was actually not going to mention a specific botch. I was going to just talk about how Asuka really needs to do more than just twiddle her fingers.
I don't remember the exact move, but there was one that I caught, and I can't remember exactly what the move was right now.
Peyton, do you remember a botch specifically? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't remember any botches, so if there was a botch, it was done with style.
Hmm. What did you think about Asuka's debut here?
Holy shit, she was awesome. For a long time, Sasha Banks has been my favorite thing in NXT, my favorite ladies wrestler, and quite possibly my favorite thing in wrestling in general. And along comes Asuka, and in one night, she's got me reconsidering. She kicked so much ass from the videos that we've seen introducing her, the little bit that we've seen on NXT, and then her coming out tonight, her entrance was cool, her music went with her really awesomely. Everything she did in the ring, she had so much energy. She could strike. She could do submissions. She could play to the crowd. She could, I don't know, she could have this crazy look on her. She could have this cute little smile. She's just got so much to her personality that was shown tonight. I love this already.
Her theme is awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Caitlin, what did you think about Dana Brooke here?
Well, you know, like you were saying, this is the best that I've seen her in action. She's been an effective heel in the fact that I've never liked her. But I think before, a lot of that was just not because she was trying to be heel, just because she was not very good and just unlikable and just not able to cut a good promo. But tonight, I think she actually played a good heel effectively. I mean, trying to be hated. And the debut of Asuka, I thought, was great. You know, she came out, awesome costume. The crowd was super behind her. The music was really good. And she showed that she is a badass. I mean, that's what we need is a woman, babyface, who is a badass. And she totally fits that. You know, she was showing off, you know, a lot of kicks, a lot of good moves. But I just overall, I can't say how excited I am to see where she's going to go in the next few weeks and months. I mean, I think they can do a lot with her.
I think she needs to be brought to the main roster ASAP.
Really, that fast?
She looked ready to me tonight. If she could go out there and give the match she just did with Dana Brooke, she's ready.
Yeah, she made Dana Brooke look good. So
Yeah, maybe she'll get the quick pass. You know, like Kevin Owens was only there for a couple months.
Yeah, I would say go until the UK special because, you know, she's still got to learn, like, you know, work into the camera side and all that shit. But by then she should have all that in line and get her up there.
Wouldn't hurt. That's for sure.
And I like how the crowd was so behind her, you know, the Asuka City chants and stuff after she did the suplex. I thought that was cool.
The beginning of the match, Asuka's going to kill you.
Yep. That was good. No, and I was thinking the one that I said about a botch, I don't think it was necessarily a botch. I'm trying to go back and remember. And it was, I think it might have been just a camera angle thing because there was one of the moves that one of the ladies had hit on another one, and it was so clearly not making contact. And I think that might have just been a camera work thing.
Maybe. You know, sometimes they get like the wrong angle where you can see like how much space is in there and stuff.
Exactly. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Then we had another one of the relative newbies. Apollo Crews had his closest match to date against Tyler Breeze. Breeze really, you know, came close to winning this match in a couple different ways. And two of my favorite parts of it were the time where he tossed him into what do you call it? The screen that's on the side of the ring. Does that have a name?
The screen on the side of the ring?
Doesn't have like some kind of a special name or something like that. Does it though? Like, do we have like the Titantron? And then that's like the, I don't know, the
Aprontron.
Aprontron, yeah.
I haven't even heard them call that the Titantron in like forever.
A long while. But that was cool seeing him bounce off of that. I loved the part where he held his feet down when he was going to do the standing moonsault. And then when he finally did it, he's got his knees up. That was great. I actually thought he might end up winning that.
The smarts of Tyler Breeze. He's not just good looks.
Beauty and brains.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I thought that this was fantastic. And I was thinking to myself, all right, well, maybe this is even better than the Jordan Gable tag team match or whatever. And I don't know which one I like better. I'd probably have to rewatch the two of them and stuff. But you know, later on, we had the best match of the night, of course. But I like this start to finish. Apollo Crews is doing a damn good job. Like, he's impressive as all hell.
Yeah, he shows just how dominant he can be. I mean, from his debut, you know, he put on, I forget, who was he up against in his debut match last?
Ty Dillinger, I think.
Yes, yeah. And that was just kind of a squash match. But this time, you know, we actually got to see him go back and forth with Tyler Breeze. And Tyler Breeze is such a pro. He can make anybody look good. And it was, you know, surprisingly close. I thought it was going to be another one of those Apollo Crews just comes over and just kind of plows over Tyler Breeze, maybe with a little bit of offense on Tyler Breeze's part. But no, this was a lot more back and forth than I had anticipated. It was pretty exciting. You know, there was the one move where he, you know, held him vertically for, I don't know, it seemed like 10 seconds or something. And that was great on both those guys. And then, you know, just slammed him down. And I just overall, I thought this match was very impressive. And I was happy with how it turned out.
You know what I noticed during this match that I think it's probably going to end up going a long way when it comes to Apollo Crews. Even when he kicked out of the pins, he had a lot of energy behind it.
Yeah.
Like, this guy can, like, jump super high. He's got, like, he's so athletic for his musculature. And he kind of reminds me of, like, if they took Bobby Lashley and John Morrison.
Okay.
And put the two together.
I can kind of see that. I can
If he learns how to cut a better promo, because that's still his, like, weak point, this guy could end up being a world champ.
Yeah, no, and that's what they were even talking about on commentary, too. You know, they were talking and saying, you know, he's got the potential. So, I mean, as long as he just keeps developing and, you know, that the crowd is behind him, which they seem they are, and then the people in the back are behind him, I don't think there's any limit for what this guy can do.
And I never would have guessed it when they first announced that UHA Nation. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
As much as, you know, UHA Nation, you know, it's an all right name. Apollo Crews, first I was so against that name because it's just, you know, Apollo Creed and then Terry Crews, basically, right? Yeah. But it's growing on me. You know, I like the name now. It's all right. But his skills more than make up for, you know, any kind of name, whether it be Apollo or UHA or whatever. So I'd say this is not, again, not my match of the night, but still very entertaining. If you're going to skip a match during this at all, don't skip this one. This is definitely worth viewing.
Peyton, what do you think about Apollo Crews and Tyler Breeze? What do you think about that powerbomb, too?
The spinny powerbomb?
Mm-hmm.
It was a cool move. It's a fine one to incorporate in his repertoire, which he has an awesome repertoire, I say, for a guy who's just getting into there, and he's going to develop it more as he goes on. Tyler Breeze, I do feel bad for this guy because he isn't really catching a break, you know? I believe they were touting during this match that he still hasn't gotten his one-on-one shot for the title down there, which is a sin because he is one of the most talented guys they got down there. And this match demonstrated that. Both guys brought it, though. It's not like either guy carried the other. Both of the guys went out there, had an excellent mid-card match, and I look forward to the careers of both of them continuing.
We had our finals for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Tournament. Of course, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against Baron Corbin and Rhino. I gotta say, least favorite match of the night. Disappointing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. This match spent too much time focusing on the story of Finn Balor selling the knee, and it was to the detriment of the match. And with nothing else happening out of it, you know, they didn't continue the story. And I think they may follow up on this, on what I feel like they're trying to make a stack next episode of NXT. But I don't know. I felt like if you were just going to have like a happy celebration victory, why not have done that with Gable and Jordan?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
It felt really weird to me that they built up this whole thing about the leg and then it didn't pay off.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like we were saying before, we were sort of hinting at the whole Finn Balor leg injury. You know, I thought that that was going to cause him to either not be able to get the hot tag or more likely to get pinned himself. Samoa Joe would come in afterwards, you know, act like he's lifting him up to help him. Okay, we lost, and then attack him, do the heel turn, then go for the title. But that didn't happen. That was very strange. I mean, I can kind of see, you know, they wanted to have like the picture moment afterwards, you know, of the two big guys there in the ring with the Rhodes and everything while they do their celebration. And that was cool. But as far as the storyline, I'm not really sure where they're going with this. I mean, they're not going to stay a team. So I don't really get why they put this on them.
The only thing I can think of is that they just looked at it as, well, these are the two biggest guys, so why shouldn't they win? That doesn't seem like a very NXT kind of thing to do.
No, that's a mistake. It's like having John Cena and Randy Orton just win it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. It struck me as odd. And what also struck me as odd when it came to the leg thing, same finish. Muscle Buster and Coup de Grace. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like it would hurt. You know, I would believe anybody getting pinned after that. But if you have the leg injury with the first match, and that's the reason why that match went on so long, this seemed shorter, and it's like, well, Baron Corbin and Rhino are a hell of a better match than Dash and Dawson. Mm-hmm. So Balor and Joe wrestled a match already. Finn Balor is more injured than he was during the Dash and Dawson one, and they're able to beat Corbin and Rhino? Like, I don't know. I didn't really buy into it. I think that this was just kind of somebody booked it and got in the way of themselves or something.
I thought there would be no way that Finn Balor could hit that second coup de grace, you know, or the one for this match, rather, if they're playing up that injury. I thought he would be up there on the top turnbuckle and then probably slip because his leg gave out, and that would cause them to lose. But they nailed it exactly the same both times, and I was surprised.
Then we had our little celebration with the Rhodes family. I thought that was good. Cody gave a little speech. You know, everybody acting as baby faces. They didn't need to do any kind of a, you know, well, I'm Stardust and I'm going to take the fucking cup away or something like that. Like, I'm really glad that they just kept it as like, here's Cody, Dustin, Eden. I don't know the names of the others. His wife and two daughters. That was what it was? Yeah.
Two
daughters. You know, they just came out there. They honored Dusty Rhodes. I liked that. I thought it was good. And I really liked how the crowd was great tonight.
Yeah.
And
the thank you, Dusty chants.
Yeah, thank you, Dusty. Like, good little, like, they hit the right, what's the word for it? They hit the right notes, I guess you could say. So, Peyton, what do you think about the little cup ceremony, I guess you could call it?
Well, the presentation of the cup was just a happy, ceremonious event, you know? It's a shame they didn't have confetti. Or did they and I missed it?
I don't think so.
I think, you know, confetti and balloons, just something dropping from the ceiling. Money. you know, JBL did it. That was certainly cool.
Ted DiBiase comes out. I'm going to buy this trophy.
Again, I felt like they could have done more than not necessarily Stardust, like, you know, jetpacking to the ceiling with the trophy and running away with it, although that would be awesome.
That would be pretty fucking awesome.
I more mean, like, if you were going to do this joyous ceremony that you wanted to have as a special occasion played through the years, do it with a special tag team. You know, it could have been Enzo and Cass, could have been Jordan and Gable, could have been any of them. I just understand why you have to take your world champion, and who's pretty much your number one contender, I'm assuming, and have it be them if you're not going to play a story out with it.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll be able to pick up on that and do something, but until they do, gonna consider that one of the misses. It still wasn't bad.
Yeah, I agree. It seemed like a missed opportunity storyline wise.
Then we had, oh wait, before we get into the main event, we can call it the Coupe de Gras. All right, I had to get that out. So our main event was the 30-minute Iron Man match between Sasha Banks and Bayley for the NXT Women's Championship. Bayley wins with a score of 3-2. Fantastic. Even better than their other match. This is in my contention for match of the year.
I also loved it. However, I would not put it above their last match, the one at Brooklyn. I thought that one, really? I enjoyed better, yeah. I like this one a lot. I'm glad they gave him even more time. You know, it was an Iron Man match, so they had to. But I thought the, I don't know, I just thought the emotions of the other one were better. You know, it had me more glued to it, I guess.
It was a little tighter, too.
Yeah.
I think because of this match's length, it was a little slow and sloppy at the beginning, and it was a little, I don't know, it seems like they were really watching the clock at the end there to make sure they hit all their spots right.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought that they did a good job of balancing out the time.
No, that last transition into that hold especially seemed like, oh shit, I gotta get this in now.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen worse.
Oh, you there's know, been worse. The, absolutely.
The hardcore one. Was it WrestleMania?
I mean, believe me, I understand. These are the developmental divas. This is their first time in the main event. I'm sure these women had massive butterfly belts in their stomachs.
I actually thought that, like, most Iron Man matches, or even just normal matches that are going to go long, the beginning of it's slow, so I give them a little bit of leeway when it comes to that, but I think the story that they were telling in this was fantastic. Favorite part of the whole thing, bringing in that little girl, Izzy.
And, yeah, I like how they made that out there. The announcers were talking about that and everything.
I mean, I'm the guy that usually gives the kids the worst awards of the year. And I thought that this was one of the best things I've seen in all 2015.
Do you think they're paying to bring her to all these shows?
I don't know.
Because she was at Brooklyn.
She's been at a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she probably just started as somebody who just kept going a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's sort of been brought into the fold.
Well, she was there with Bailey's family. She's not related to Bailey at all, is she?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. Now I'm starting to question that. Maybe she is. Maybe she's like her niece or something like that.
I have no idea.
Oh, maybe that's her last name.
Bailey Izzy.
Bailey Izzy Biggie.
They're all related. I would love to see this angle, the stable pop up. I like that a lot. I don't know if they like would have coached her ahead of time of like, well, this is going to happen in the match, or if that was like legit tears that were coming down from Sasha Banks.
I want to know what Sasha was saying to him, because she got right up in the family's face and was saying something at one point.
She's probably yelling back and forth, like acting really mean, and she's just like, this is all for show. I'm actually really happy you're here. I love you, Izzy. You're a great supporter. Now give me that fucking headband.
And that's what made her cry.
Maybe that's what Mysterio was saying all those times. And he comes out of the ring and he headbutts to his little kids. He's just talking to them like he's talking to Izzy and stuff.
I always imagine he's going up to him and like saying really dirty, vicious, nasty things in Spanish.
Oh, I always pictured him going, buy my mask. Just, hey kid, buy some merch. That's why I'm still in this company. But I love this. I thought that this was fantastic. Nail biter at the end, because I was actually starting to think maybe they would give it to Sasha. I didn't really think that ahead of time, and they sort of made me believe it. So I loved that. I loved the little presentation at the end with the flowers and the whole NXT roster coming out there and Sasha Banks crying and all that. I thought that was great too. And I love, again, I have to illustrate the point of the crowd. It just goes to show you, if the women put on a good enough match, they're going to get a good enough response. They had a great match at Brooklyn, so everybody was happy to see this. There was no, you can't wrestle, no boring chance, no, like, Randy Savage or JBL or any of that kind of stuff that happens with a lot of these kind of things. Instead, we're getting, this is wrestling, women's wrestling, you deserve it, this is awesome. I can't see any criticism being valid going forward after this that goes, well, they don't ever give them a shot. Yeah, they do. They give the people that are deserving a shot. These two are deserving of it, and they need to be, like, super, super proud of themselves for this. Two awesome matches in a row. Definitely in contention for match of the year for me.
It also got an Iron Woman
chant.
And also a holy shit chant, which you don't hear during the women's matches a lot.
Unless somebody really botches.
Well, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, holy shit.
What did you guys think about the one fall or count when it was a count out? What did you guys think about that?
Didn't bother me. Yeah, I mean, it should be that way. I think realistically, you're going that long through a match, someone should get tired to the point where you could take advantage of them being outside the ring.
I agree, and I'm glad that it worked out that way, that it was Bayley getting counted out and Sasha just like a snake just, you know, slithered right back into that ring and is like, oh yeah. So that was, I thought that was great.
Now,
makes perfect sense.
There's a way to play an Iron Man match. I got to give shout outs to Lucha Underground because we don't get to talk about it much on here. They did their version of an Iron Man match at one of their specials they did earlier this year. I believe it was John Morrison and Prince Puma. And the way John Morrison... Yeah, oh, yeah, he was Johnny Mundo on there is his name. But he was playing the heel. And in this match, he took a chair and just beat the shit out of Prince Puma for a disqualification. But then because he beat the shit out of him with a chair, he just pinned him over and over and over again and just got a bunch of pinfalls. I was like, holy shit, that's genius.
Yeah.
How come no one else does that in these matches?
Well, Daniel Bryan did that with Sheamus in that 1-2 out of 3 falls match.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he hit him with a chair or something like that, got a DQ, and then he put him in a submission, and Sheamus passed out. But then, you know, the third fall, it was Sheamus again or something. So they have done that, but I like the idea of doing that, like, to get multiple pins. Because it should. If you blast him with a chair, they should be out for a good while.
I'm not saying the women should hit each other with chairs.
No, not necessarily. Although
I'm just saying, you could get experimental with these Iron Man matches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they do that enough.
And I like that Bayley got the stairs involved. She starts moving the ring steps. And I like that it was her that did it, too. You know, because you would expect something like that to happen. You know, that's kind of a heel move. But she was desperate. She's the champion. She wants to hold on to it. So she was – I liked seeing that side of Bayley, that she's willing to, you know, think outside the ring, I guess. And, you know, flying off the steps like that.
Oh, and that was sick when Sasha kicked her back and she just whammed the back of her head.
Mm-hmm.
Thud.
And then the other time she just swung her right into it. So.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple times Sasha took a bump at the very beginning of this where I thought she got injured. It was like a back body drop or something like that. I can't remember now off the top of my head.
Oh, well, thank goodness they didn't do that freaking Hurricane Rana off the top rope again.
Well, they kind of did.
Well, they didn't do it the way they did it last time.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was scary. Yeah.
But credit to these two women. They did a fantastic job. And I think overall, this was one of the best NXT takeovers that we've seen. I don't understand why Sean was just kind of like, I don't really like this. I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I it's not quite the best, but... it's unexpectedly good. I think a lot of people were expecting this just to be a filler one and kind of meaningless while they're planning on the bigger road to that UK special. But everyone who was on the show just brought it. We saw sides of some of these people that we've never seen before. I think we saw some great fresh blood tonight with Asuka and Apollo Crews. You know, a lot of people were saying that the novel, the whole freshness and all the exciting things of NXT being new is gone. I don't think that's true. I think we're seeing a new era we're going into with NXT. And before we had that NXT 5, you know, that's what NXT was based on. And now pretty much all of them are main roster bound or close to it. Now we're going into a new era, and I don't know what it's going to be based on, but I feel like it's going to have a lot to do with women and tag teams, and that's cool.
You know what I'm getting worried about?
What's that?
This is just my, like, I can see this happening. I can see people starting to go, yeah, NXT's great and all, but I kind of want to go against the grain and not like it anymore. You know how people do that with, like, well, Dolph Ziggler's great, and then...
It's going to happen with anything, yeah.
I just don't want that to happen anytime soon, because these people are knocking it out of the fucking park. And I want to see, like, the crowds just start going, well, NXT's so, like, 2015, or whatever.
If it gets stale, then that's what will happen. But if they can keep doing awesome shows like this, I don't see how anybody could deny it.
Very true. Kalen, your overall thoughts?
Kind of like what Mike said, you know, well, Tony, you were saying you thought it was one of the best. I have to agree with Mike that it was a fantastic show, but I wouldn't say it was my top one or two takeovers that I've seen. There's other ones that I've enjoyed more, but it was very, very enjoyable. I would recommend it highly to anybody who, maybe even if you only watch a little bit of NXT, check it out. It's really cool. It's like you guys kind of were hinting at, it was not a filler match, but it didn't seem like one of the major one, or not a filler pay-per-view, but it didn't seem like one of the major ones. It seemed like they're sort of introducing the next chapter, you know, like you're talking about with focus on the women and the tag team. And with the introduction of, you know, a few new players there and the development of some characters. So I think this isn't really a major point in the story, but it is definitely getting us there. So that's not to take anything away from it. It was super enjoyable, but it didn't seem like as much of a, I don't know, as much of a focus point as what it's leading up to. This seems more of a transitional one to me, but that's not to say it was not good at all, because it was very good.
Can we all agree on something now that the show has come and gone? And that is that Takeover Respect was the perfect name for the show.
I still think it's pretty lame.
It makes sense. I'm still not, I don't know, just the sound of it, I don't know, but it made sense. Like, watching it all, you know, leading up in the weeks leading up to it, and watching it tonight, it made sense in every aspect.
NXT TakeOver Good. It's going to be their next one. All right, well, that's what we think about NXT TakeOver. Make sure you leave your comments below. Tell us what you thought of the pay-per-view. What was your favorite match of the night? What was your least favorite part? What do you think's going to happen going forward with the story of Samoa Joe and Finn Balor? Or are they just going to drop it and say, meh, that was it? And, you know, what do you think about the state of the Divas division now that we've gotten this match that has really just been banging on all cylinders and proven a lot of things right, a lot of things wrong, you know, going outside the box there? That's it for this episode outside of some plugs. So, Peyton, anything you want to throw out there for the promotional side of things?
Well, if you're listening to this within the next 24 to 72 hours, go ahead and follow me at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payton for live updates, pictures, and Instagrams and all types of things while we are attending New York Comic Con. Super exciting times.
Kalen?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm not going to the New York Comic Con with these guys, but I will be following them as well. But if you want to follow me, it's at Kalen Ferris.
And if you are on SmartCountMoment.com's YouTube channel right now, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're on iTunes and Stitcher, subscribe to YouTube. Check out SmartCountMoment.com for anything else that's coming your way this week. Obviously, we got another episode of Smack Talk coming your way in a couple days, which is going to be, I think, Hell in a Cell something? No, it's not Hell in a Cell Predictions. It's Hell in a Cell Wrestling with the Past. That's what it is. So I was like, I know there's something about Hell in a Cell here. So that's going to be coming up soon. Make sure you check out fanboysanonymous.com for all the stuff we have to say about New York Comic Con. And make sure you check out all talk shows links, because you never know when one of those episodes come in your way. Who knows? Maybe we'll end up doing that at New York Comic Con or something. So that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening to everybody. This has been another Smark Out Moment, and we're being counted out. Ah!